All right. I will now call the meeting to order. Welcome to the July 24th, 2024 Street Youth Staff Commission virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you would like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call in committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. All right. Roll call. We'll now ask for roll call. Members of the committee, please unmute yourselves and say present when your name is called. All right. Matt Scamardo with Streets.
Present.
Matt is present. Amy O'Rourke Parking.
Present.
Amy's present. Caitlin Updike, Capitol Police.
Present.
Caitlin's present. Scott Strasburg Fire.
Present.
Scott is present. Mark Kiso Malcrew.
Present.
Mark is present. Eric VM Finance.
Present.
Eric's present. Megan Blake Horse Economic Development.
Present.
Megan's present. Tim Sabota Metro.
Present.
Tim is present. Jeremy Nash Traffic Engineering.
Present.
Jeremy's present. Lieutenant Hannah MPD.
Present.
Lieutenant Hannah's present. John Farney Engineering.
Present.
John is present. I think that's everybody. All right. We do have a quorum. In a virtual meeting like this, it is particularly important we carefully follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and second for each agenda item, unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. All right. Approval of minutes. I was not able to complete the minutes from the last meeting, so there are no minutes to approve today. Agenda item number one, legislative ID 84475 is public comment, and we have no public comment for items not on the agenda. Actually, I'm going to confirm that real quick. Yep. All right. Disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Members, please use the raise hand function if you have any disclosures or recusals on any agenda items. Go ahead, Megan.
I have a disclosure that I live on Orton Park, so it's related to agenda item on the consent agenda 84470. I just wanted to disclose that I'm a resident within the park, but don't see any issues with needing to be recused.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All righty then. I am going to quick ask, let's see. Who is on the iPhone? Can the person on the iPhone, Julian, I'm not sure if that's, is that you, Julian? I think you do star six if you want to unmute yourself.
Yeah, that's me. This is Julian from the iPhone.
Perfect. Hi, Julian. Okay, we're going to get to your item right now. I'm going to rename you just in our virtual space here. Okay. All right. So, agenda item number two, legislative ID 84468, street use permit application for Juju's Black Party. We have one registered speaker for this item. Julian Walters has registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this item for discussion and voting? Motion, Amy. Oh, am I missing a hand? Thank you, Megan. I had to scroll on my screen. Okay. So this is an annual request for Juju's Black Party on August 17th.
17th, yep.
August 17th, the event itself is mostly contained within Penn Park. And it's a free neighborhood community event. And the street closure is requested to close the section of Fisher, 2100 Fisher, that is adjacent to Penn Park, as well as Dane Street, adjacent to Penn Park. And within that space is for public safety, as well as, I believe, fire trucks. Julian, anything else set up in those streets?
Nope, we have fire trucks. Some MPD officers will be there. The food trucks are in the park, so that's not really in the street. But we did have an ice cream truck in the street last year. But really, that's the gist of it.
Okay, people hanging out and
yeah.
Sounds good. And the request is to close the street. Actually, can you confirm when you would want the street closed exactly until when you would want it open?
12 to 8. 12 noon to 8 p.m.
Okay. And the event itself, what is the time of the event?
I have the whole park blocked out for 10 to 10, but the event is from 12 to 8 as well.
Okay. So would you need to close the street a little bit before 12 just to get everything kind of in place?
Yeah, correct. Probably like, actually, that's a good point. Probably 11 to 8.
Okay, 11 to 8. All right. Okay. Then I don't have any specific questions. It's the same as in past years. So we'll just go through each agency. So we'll go with Eric, VM, and Risk.
This would require insurance, and we do have an approved cert on file already. So Risk is set.
Perfect. All right. How about Scott with fire?
Hi there. For the most part, everything looks good. The only thing that we would request is that they keep the drive aisle behind the parking stalls where it says car show, that they keep the drive aisle open there so we have access to the structures in case of an emergency. So otherwise, we're good. So the food trucks would have to be down in the circle. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But the drive aisle itself, just keeping that clear. And I'm assuming they would be because you'd want the car show, the cars to get out. But we just need to make sure that we maintain that.
For sure.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. Let's go with Jeremy Nash, Traffic Engineering.
No concerns. And I did want to check, in previous years, you've picked up equipment. So I'm going to verify it's the plan again for this year.
Yep, we'll pick it up the day before, put it in the storage area, kind of where that kitchen area is, and we'll set it up Saturday morning.
Perfect. Sounds good. Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
Then we'll drop it back off Monday.
Perfect. Wonderful.
All right. Thank you. Let's go with Lieutenant Hannah, MPD.
No issues or concerns. If you do want MPD officers there for any part of your event, just go ahead and reach out to Emily Hardiman.
Sounds good. I had Lieutenant Hannah been in contact with Officer Jesse Davila, I want to say. If that rings a bell, I think he's on the south side for us, but I'll reach out to Emily as well.
Sure, that's great. Either one. If you want officers to work that event, that you'll need to reach out to Emily, but Jesse is your neighborhood officer, I believe. So that's fine to communicate with Jesse. Just if you need officers to work the event, make sure
you
reach out to Emily.
Got you.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I need to just pause for 1 second here. One of the attendees today is having trouble getting in, so I just want to send them the link. Okay. Now we're good. Okay. So we'll go with Amy and parking.
So are you planning to have no parking signs put up in the section that you have closed off? And would you want any vehicles parked there towed out of the area?
Yeah, yes. We'll have the no parking signs in that enclosed space. And you know, if it came to towing, yeah. You know, like I said, in kind of the event is a neighborhood event, we probably want to talk to the people before and mitigate that if as much as possible. But if we did have someone who was just disgruntled and kind of wasn't listening, yeah, I mean, towing would be the last option that we would want.
Okay, so you'll want to get those signs posted and have us check them at least 48 hours in advance, and you can call the parking division for that.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, let's go with Tim and Metro.
Good morning, Julian. I just wanted to confirm, so the city does have scheduled bus service southbound on Fisher Street from Dane down to Buick. You are requesting that you pay the fees and have that service eliminated for the day of the event, correct? Okay. And then as far as when those barricades are going up, Kelly had been asking initially, your permit had a 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. for a setup and teardown. Mm-hmm. Is there a solid time that on that Saturday that buses should not anticipate being able to travel south on Fisher?
I mean, I would say the last time would be at 11.
Okay.
So if they want to use the lineup until 11 o'clock, that's fine. Okay. Because 11 o'clock is really when we have the volunteers come out and we're going to really set everything up
and put up those barricades. Yep.
Correct.
And then for after the event, if the cleanup time originally had been at 10 p.m., that's pretty much when that service ends. So should we just anticipate the latest we could go is 10 a.m. and that's it for the rest of the day? And just,
yeah,
if the event ends at 8, you've got time to clear out and not have to deal with the buses, 9 o'clock, right, 10 o'clock kind of thing. Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's see. I don't think we've any other impacted agencies. Actually, Julian, can you just remind me, do you request a dumpster from the city?
No, we usually don't. We usually just use the barrels, and then, you know, obviously, you know, you guys know that there's an event, and so they come pick it up and clean it, dump the trash cans on Monday.
Perfect. Okay. Sounds good. Does anyone have further questions for Julian before I share the draft permit? All right, let me find that. Not that one. All right. This is the draft permit for Juju's Block Party. Sponsor organization is Foster of Dane County. Julian is the contact. This is a request to close 2100 Fisher, as well as the block of Dane Street that's adjacent to Penn Park. I will be updating the setup. The setup in the park is Friday the 16th. The event itself is the 17th. I will update this to the street closure start time, which is 11 a.m., and reopening at 8 p.m. And there is indemnification for the city. Certificate of insurance is required and on file. We'll ask that you notify the area alder prior to the event. We'll ask you notify any businesses or residents that are on those closed streets. We'll ask that you call Sale Street Garage to get your barricades. We'll have you call parking to get your no parking signs, and they will give you instructions on posting them and calling them in. There is one metro route detoured by the event. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level. Event volunteers and staff, we do ask that you monitor the barricades because there are some apartment buildings in those locations that they might need to maintain access for anyone. There's 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained. No inflatables on city right of way, no permanent markings, and you will need to clean up. Any further questions for Julian? All right, on the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number two? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you, guys. And if anybody wants to come out August 17th, we'd love to have. It's going to be food, basketball, a lot of fun stuff. So we'd love to see any of you guys who want to come see the block party.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
You too. Agenda item number three, legislative ID 84469, street use permit application for the Aberdeen move-in. We have one registered speaker for this item. Kelly Whitkins is registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this item for discussion and voting? Motion, Caitlin, second, Megan. All right, this is the annual request for the Aberdeen move-in, which is at 437 Gorham. Let me just confirm. I know what I'm talking about. 437 West Gorham. The request is to close a section of that traffic lane that's adjacent to the Aberdeen. The request is for closure on August 19th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., as well as August 24th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So we'll go through each agency. This is the same request as usual, and we'll just see if and there's any questions. Eric with risk?
No questions. Insurance would be required. We do have a cert on file, but it expires on August 1st, so we'll need a renewal.
Okay.
Beforehand.
Sounds good. Thank you. Scott with fire.
Nope. We're good with it. The only thing they would have to keep in mind is they do have the fire department connection on the front of that building. And so they would have to make some sort of allowances if something happens to move vehicles or to keep it out of the way so we can get to that. You know, so it's fine the way it is. It's just they have to keep that in mind. And
yep.
Didn't see anything for that. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. Let's go, Jeremy, traffic engineering.
No concerns. Just want to double check. I believe in previous years you've used your own equipment in this event. Is that still a plan for this year?
Yes, we would have our own equipment come in.
All right, sounds good. Let me know if anything changes, but I'll plan on that. Thanks.
All right. Lieutenant Hannah, MPD?
No questions or concerns.
Let's see. Tim with Metro.
For traffic engineering, Jeremy, did you confirm that this is clear of any street occupancy with the adjacent construction projects?
I took a look and I didn't see anything that would directly impact it.
Okay, it's all upstream of here for the Broom, Gorham, Johnson, super block. Does that make sense? Okay, thanks. Yeah, buses are on the right side of the road, so no anticipated impacts. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Let's see. Parking, I don't think there's no parking there, so I don't think we need to post no parking. Let me know if I'm wrong about that, but go ahead, Taylor.
Can you hear me okay? I was having a little bit of trouble with my microphone. Okay, good. Just kind of the same concerns I had before last year with making sure that, you know, no double parking is happening, really keep an eye on those cars that are going to utilize that space. Because that is such a busy intersection. Of course, that's a very busy weekend. A lot of people are going to be around that area. And also just making sure that that corner, the crosswalks stay open. Nobody's blocking that intersection. It's just really making sure that those traffic lanes are staying as wide open as possible so that there's no pedestrian issues, no other vehicle issues, no bicycle issues, etc. But yeah, it's just a safety concern on my part.
Yep. Good points. Very good points. That is a crazy area. All right. Anybody else have questions before we share the draft or thoughts? All right, this is the draft permit for the Aberdeen move-in. The request is to close the traffic lane at 400 West Gorham, directly in front of the Aberdeen, on October 19th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and October 24th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have indemnification for the city. We have a certificate of insurances required. We'll ask you to notify the area alder. I guess I will get rid of the Sales Street garage. Sounds like you have your own equipment. And I have that down here. Traffic barrels and signage as required by traffic engineering, and organizer will provide their own equipment. You also must have resident loading, unloading areas must be monitored at all times by staff wearing fluorescent vests to ensure traffic plan is maintained, crosswalks are maintained, and there's no double parking. We must maintain a 20-foot emergency access lane in the ADA accessible pathway on the sidewalks. No inflatables on city right-of-way, no permanent markings, and you are required to clean up. Any further thoughts on the Aberdeen move-in? Go ahead, Lieutenant Hannah.
Sorry, I should have mentioned to reach out to Emily for staff if required.
Okay. I don't think we've staffed this in the past. Do you know if we will be requiring it this year or if they want it?
If they want it, if they need it, we're here, but it's certainly not a requirement.
Okay, perfect. I'll put that on there in case they would like to staff. All right. On the motion to approve, agenda item number 3, is there any objection recorded a unanimous vote? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you. See you again next year.
All right. Let's see. Yeah. Ryan, I do need to ask you to turn your camera off for legal reasons. All right. Agenda item 4, legislative ID 84472. Street use permit application for Ironman Wisconsin Festival. We have one registered speaker for this item. Ryan Richards has registered in support. Let me just confirm because I don't remember if you were going to speak. Yes, and has registered to speak. So can I have a motion and a second to approve this item for discussion and voting? Motion, Caitlin. Second, Megan. All right, Ryan, so you have registered to speak, so go for it, and then we'll ask our questions, and you can ask your questions.
Good morning, everybody. I like the race to get your hand up to make the motion. That's good. So, I guess I never know what to check there. I'm happy just to answer questions. We can talk a little bit about it. I mean, this is, you know, we're on several years of the full Ironman race. We're 4 years in now on the 70.3 race, 3 years on the same weekend. So I think we can probably just go into it and get to questions and concerns that people have.
Sounds great. And I appreciate you meeting ahead of time with our traffic team. That really helps this process. Okay, so we'll just go through each agency. Eric with RISC.
This one will require insurance. And then Ryan, I know you gave a certificate to Monona Terrace, but could you get one that lists the certificate holder as the city of Madison and send that over? I can't use the one that you gave to Monona Terrace for.
It should have been included
this.
In the street use packet or the street use permit.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. If not, I can give it to you after this.
Yeah, I might have it. Let me see here.
I can just follow up with it too, just to.
Okay, I see it here in my files. I just never followed through to get it to Eric.
Perfect. All right.
And it does look like City of Madison. So I'll forward this to you after the meeting, Eric.
All right, sounds good.
Okay. It's really hard just doing this on a laptop, I must say. Okay. Okay, let's go with Scott and Fire.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, it's gone really well for us in the past, so nothing really too new. I'm sure you've been in contact with Chief Crossan about the EMS plan and using our command center, stuff like that. But if not, obviously get a hold of him right away. The question I had on the on your weather plan here for on the EAP, mm-hmm. how are you going to be monitoring the weather?
I believe it in there. It says that we're monitoring via various internet services.
Okay.
So local weather, as well as, you know, the weather apps, WeatherBug, Wonderground, all those.
Okay. I would strongly encourage you to get a hold of our emergency management coordinator, Colton Ritchie, and I can give you the information or the number or whatever if you need. But about getting in contact with the National Weather Service and using their yep. service for something like this.
We also typically submit our routes to them mm-hmm. as well, so they know where we're going to be. So as storms pop up.
Yep. So are you using their service though?
Yes, we use it nationally for all of Ironman races.
Okay, so I'd get a hold of Richie or Colton because he actually has to sign off on that for our area. So if you're using that, so.
Okay.
Just contact me. I can get a hold of him for or we can get you in contact with him.
Very good. Thank you.
You bet. That's it for us.
All right. Jeremy, traffic engineering.
We've met a number of times and had extensive communications. So I don't have any questions at this time.
All right. Just to confirm, Ryan, you provide all your own equipment, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's go with Lieutenant Hannah, MPD.
No questions or concerns.
All right. This is special event staffing or special duty?
It is special event, all of it, all Ironman.
Okay, got it. Let's go with parking. I know that parking posts. I believe yep. that will be the plan, but
yes, we'll post in tow for this and Ryan can work with Taylor offline to get everything set up for that.
Perfect. Tim with Metro.
Yeah, Kelly had said the thank you for having the organizational meeting with Police, TE, and Metro. Ryan, I just wanted to confirm for the meeting here today my understanding of the event. The one thing I am confirming is that there would be police traffic control on Moreland at Rimrock for buses to be crossing the bike course that is north and south along Rimrock. Buses go east-west on Moreland across Rimrock. And then on the run course, my understanding was police traffic control was going to be directing traffic northbound on Broome across Dayton, southbound on Bassett across Dayton, northbound and southbound on Randall when the course is crossing on the bike path. And finally, the run course was going to be northbound and southbound on that little street's name is, if I zoom in enough, is it going to tell me? West of Lathrop, going across University Avenue to and from the Ped Bridge. Does that sound right, Ryan? Does that Ring a bell?
Correct. Yep. Yep. Is that Summit right there, I believe?
Yeah, I think it is Summit. Summit
we,
or
we kind of we kind of make a it has to be like a little jog across because there is
correct.
No
yep.
direct across.
But. So if that all sounds good. And then the other question I have is for the Capitol Square at the organizational meeting, traffic engineering was okay with having two-way bus traffic on the block of East Mifflin and North Pinckney. And so is that traffic control setup going to be placed by Ironman or city traffic engineering, Jeremy?
I believe that'd be Ironman.
Okay. Does that sound correct for Ryan?
That's fine. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So the plan there was that the buses and things would follow the signal lights and then putting a two-way or a, I guess a two-way stop at Pinckney and Mifflin.
Yeah. So I guess my understanding is the buses are going to be on Wisconsin Avenue from Dayton up to Mifflin.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they're going to be turning left onto East Mifflin.
Correct.
And so if that was on a green light, they're going to be making that left versus if that's going to be portable stop signs at that intersection. Buses would be, if there need to be stop signs at the Mifflin, Hamilton, Pinckney for buses to stop at the crosswalk before they turn right onto North yep. Pinckney. And then if they need a stop sign on North Pinckney, before they turn left onto East Washington to go to Webster.
I guess that's up to Jeremy if he wants stop signs at all those. I would think on Wisconsin, you could almost just change that to flashing red because you do have signals both directions.
Yep. And again, then, I wanted to just clarify whose responsibility this was to set this up. And I guess, Kelly, if there's something in the permit that can solidify that setting up this special traffic control for bi-directional bus service on East Mifflin and North Pinckney is the responsibility of either city traffic engineering or the event organizer.
Okay. Yes, I can definitely include that on the permit, I guess, Jeremy or Ryan. I don't know if we want to confirm after the meeting I think you know all the setup is Ironman's responsibility, but if we're changing traffic signals, that would be TE's responsibility.
Jeremy and I can work through that offline. Okay. To make sure we're
no both I appreciate that in. Just wanted to make sure that was nailed down, so fair. Otherwise I think we're all set for the Sunday Ironman.
Okay, perfect.
Should we talk about the 73 on Saturday as it relates to the Iron Kids? Because it's two events on the same date, or should we hold off on that? How is that best administered?
This whole discussion with Ryan right now is for Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
Both of those are in this application. So yeah, we need to talk about that as well.
Okay. So where that stands, Ryan was in a meeting with the next applicant, the Iron Kids. And where that has landed internally here at Metro is that, sorry, bear with me. Got to get my head straight on this one.
Should we talk about 70.3 first and then talk about the Iron Kids?
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to get the correct map up for me. So the 70.3, which is a Saturday, generally in the morning, there's also the farmer's market. And so generally buses during a Saturday morning farmer's market are entering the square from West Washington, using South Carroll to Main Street. On this particular Saturday, because of the Ironman down at the Doty MLK intersection area, those buses are gonna stay on the square to East Main and either exit at King or exit at East Washington. But that will keep the Doty Street and the Wilson Street area clear until 4:40 p.m. on that particular day, not 3:30, because at 4:40, the next applicant is requesting closure of the entirety of the square. So at that point, West Doty would need to be cleared from Carroll forward to MLK under the 70.3 permit. so that buses can stop curbside on Doty before MLK due to the city construction project on East Doty after MLK. And that's, again, it's going to be starting at 4:40 p.m.
Okay, so buses are on the square
until 4:40 p.m.
Yep, till 4:40, and then they will be off the entire square on the outer loop and need the Doty.
Yep. So the,
that makes sense to me.
Just in the context then of the 7030 application, the occupancy of Doty Street from Carroll forward to MLK is needing to be cleared by that 4:40 p.m. time, subject to the next permit application closing the square at 4:40 p.m.
Yep. Okay. And what about the rest of the 70.3 route? Are there any? The
rest of the 70.3 route, we are going to be detouring some buses off of the Jennifer Street area just by the Elks Club because the running route is up in that intersection. But otherwise, going out to Olbrich and back is clear of the bus routes there. And then the same thing would be happening with the bicycle course, that crossing of Rimrock at the Moreland / Novation. Buses would be crossing east and west while the bikes go one way or the other. I forget which way they are in Rimrock. And then there'd be a second police-controlled crossing of, I think it is called Southtown Drive, just north of the sewer plant, when the bikes are coming out of kind of Lake Farm Park and are crossing Southtown Drive towards the Knob Hill area. So those would just be, bus traffic would be subject to holds for traffic control for the bike course down in that area. But again, that was discussed at the pre-meeting. So again, thank you for
that. Great. Okay. So I think that is good. Let's go with Megan and Vending for either Saturday or Sunday.
So let's start with Saturday. It looks like this map from the Saturday 70.3, it's not going to disrupt anything on the corner of MLK and the square. It looks like those two food carts should be able to be there as normal. And it doesn't look like it will affect any of the outdoor dining on the 100 block of MLK. For that. So I think that seems pretty normal and status quo. Sunday, it's really just keeping in mind the outdoor dining that's on the 100 block of MLK is up against the building. So I don't think those should have any issue or impact on your setup at all, Ryan. And I'm just trying to capture the run route doesn't look like it's around the square on Saturday. Is that correct?
Yeah, Saturday we don't touch the square.
Okay. Then that should be fine. And then just, I guess, flipping to Sunday, most of the outdoor dining is on the terrace, and I don't think, again, that your fencing or anything should affect that. As it's stated on this route. So just keeping in mind that there will be outdoor dining up around, and I don't think, from what I can tell, any of the other infrastructure will affect it at all. It's a little hard to...
Yeah, we changed how we're going around the square pretty drastically due to Metro. So we're only using Carroll Street, basically. I mean, it mained Carroll.
Okay.
To State Street, so.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Okay. And it's the red lines on this map. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then does that include State Street?
Yes.
I'm trying to like see on this, and it's a really light line, so it's hard to read on my computer. Sorry.
Yeah, we use the 100 and 200 block of State Street on the road.
And just on Sunday, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Yep. Then that should be fine. And that still allows access to the Park Hotel and everything.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Then I think, as far as I can tell, that should be set. Ryan, you know how to get a hold of me if we come across something.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I did want to mention I got an email from the farmers market. They were not able to come today. So I just wanted to share. I think last year on that Saturday morning, there was some fencing and lighting equipment on, let me see exactly where that was.
It was on Mifflin Street.
Mifflin, thank you. Or East Main. And was they're
saying, yeah, there was some fence on East Main. There was a light tower on Mifflin Street.
Okay. So that's kind of been worked out to ensure no impacts. Okay. And that'll be a condition on your permit just to communicate with them and be it. So everybody's on the same page. Okay, let's go with Caitlin, Capital Police.
Hello, yes. So just to clarify, the routes will only be around part of the Capitol Square. And I believe you said Main to Carroll to State Street, and that should only be on Sunday, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then what timing do you think that'll be around?
Run course is usually active 11:30 until 12:30 a.m.
Okay. And then just a reminder for a permit to come to the Capitol Police for the facility street use for this one and the next one for Iron Kids.
Yep. I'm just, I've been working with DOA on our agreement for Minot Terrace, and that'll be a part of it as well.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right. Mark with Mall Crew, any thoughts, questions?
No, nothing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any further questions or thoughts before we share the draft permit? All right, this is a draft permit for the Ironman Wisconsin Festival. The expo itself is on the 200 block of MLK, and that is starting on Thursday, September 4th, through Sunday the 8th, and into the morning on Monday. The Ironman 70.3 is Saturday, September 7th, and the triathlon itself is on Sunday the 8th. And this schedule is, it's good, but there's more details. There'll be more detailed schedule since this is a multi-day event. So, but in general, the event on Saturday starts at 6:50 a.m. with the swim at Law Park. The event will be completely finished by 4:30. And then on Sunday, it starts at 6:45 with the swim at Law Park, and is done approximately 12:30 on Monday morning. And there is amplification on those days down on 200 MLK for the expo, and then, of course, during the races themselves. We have indemnification for the city. We have a certificate of insurance, which we do have on file. Ryan was confirmed. Good with that. Ask that you notify the area elders, which in this case is all the alders, because they should all know that this event is happening. It looks like I cut off this condition, but there is MPD special event staffing required. Obviously you know who to contact for that, but that will be on your permit. Dane County EOD will be utilized. We'll need you to coordinate with the Dane County Farmers Market, including the Wednesday 200 block MLK, and also the Saturday market on the square. As needed, we'll have you communicate with Megan. Parking enforcement will post and hood all the meters. We'll have you work with Taylor to confirm those locations. We'll ask that you notify the Madison Central Business Improvement District. An approved contractor will barricade and clone the race route. Notify businesses and residents along any impacted closures. And then specifically, I'm calling out the 100 block of MLK because there are some important contacts to make there. The traffic management plan is as approved by TE and MPD and Metro. Amplification on Saturday is 5:30 through, let's see, this doesn't really make sense. I'll make this make sense, but you are approved for amplification, but before 8 a.m., you need to keep it below the 75 decibels and after 10 p.m., but otherwise in the middle of that, it can be louder. There definitely are metro routes detoured. You are on the special event resolution, which suspends vending restrictions, authorizes a sponsor to select event vendors and performers, and the vendors are relocated outside of your perimeter. You must provide and maintain access to the Hilton Hotel and Madison Club, as well as the CCB parking garage on 10 West Wilson and the parking ramp on East Wilson. Provide maintain access for BMO Harris during their hours of operation. Provide maintain access to the Park Hotel. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained. ADA accessible pathway on the sidewalks. No inflatables on city right-of-way, no permanent markings, and you are required to clean up. All right, any further discussion on Iron Man Festival? Okay, on the motion to approve, is there any objection recording a unanimous vote on item number 4? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Thanks, Ryan. Do you have Scott's contact information to get a hold of Colton?
Strasburg, yes. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. Where's my script? Agenda item 5, legislative ID 84473, street use permit application for 2024 Iron Kids Wisconsin Fun Run. We have two registered speakers for this item. Brandon Holstein has registered in support and does wish to speak. Tavia Kearns has registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and voting? Motion, Megan. Second, Caitlin. All right. Good morning, Brandon. And I think Tavia's here as well. Brandon, you did register to speak, so you can speak when you're ready, and then we'll go through any questions.
Sure thing. Thanks, everyone. Yep, so the applications for the 2024 Iron Kids Fun Run around the Capitol Square. This year's events on Saturday, September 7th, which is directly following the 70.3 race. We will once again like to stage on the 100 block of MLK at 2:30. We'll have registration opening up, and then the races will start off at 5. We're expecting somewhere in the vicinity of 500 to 600 kids. They'll go off in three waves. So we have a toddler trot, which is for kids 1 to 3. And then we have one loop around the square and a two loop option. They'll run out the 100 block of MLK, take a right and run counterclockwise around the Capitol Square. We'll also have Edgewood College students there on all corners to help with safety and also help the kids find their final destination when they get back to the race start and finish line area where they'll get their medals. So happy to answer any questions.
All right. My first question, the street closure is, can you just confirm that will be 4:40 that we'll start closing the square?
Yes. Yep. Yep. We had a call the other day with Metro, and that was seemed like it worked best. So
awesome. Thank you for that. Okay. And then I guess streets reopen. What time will the last runner, I guess, what time will the square open and what time will 100 MLK open?
I would anticipate we'll finish the races around 6, but I think 6:30 is a safe bet to have everything open to have time for us to tear everything down and get it back to and clean up. So
okay, So both the square and MLK 6:30 is enough time?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Perfect. All right, then we're going to go through each agency. Let's go with Eric and Risk.
This would require insurance, and we have an approved cert on file.
Perfect, thank you. Jeremy, Traffic Engineering.
No concerns. I did want to double check that you won't need any barricades in the city.
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Yeah, totally. I just wanted to confirm that you won't need any barricades or any other equipment from the city.
Correct. Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Scott with fire.
Yeah. Just a couple things. One, there was no EAP, at least submitted that I can find on this. So we do need to have that submitted for us. And okay. To look at that. Also, is there any tents or anything else? Since I can't really tell on here what you have. Anything like that that'll be put up?
Yeah, we will have a couple small 10 by 10 tents on 100 okay. block. There won't be any open flame or anything like that, and we'll have weights to keep them down. So
okay, great. So yeah, just make sure you get that EAP to me real soon, and then or to us, I should say. And then I don't know if you had anything with EMS or recorded through us, but I see Chief Brosson is on the call here, so I'll let you speak to him about that.
Yeah, this is Chief Brosson here. Just go ahead and let me know if you have any type of request for EMS services for your event, please. Just go ahead and reach out to me directly at that dcrosson@cityofmadison.com if you have any questions or any requests, please.
Okay. Thank you, Damon.
Of course.
And that should do it for fire.
All right, thank you. Let's go with Lieutenant Hannah, MPD.
No questions or concerns. We're all good. Ready to go. All
right. Parking, Amy.
Are you planning on doing any additional posting around the square for no parking? I don't think you do for this, so I don't think we have anything.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, so nothing for us then.
Okay.
Megan and Vending.
Thank you. So I was trying to determine if there was going to be any fencing up or not. There's no map attached at all to give a visual of like where infrastructure like fencing or other things are going to go. Are you only using cones or are you using fencing along the race route?
So we'll use barricade fencing for just the start finish area for containment and athlete safety. And then along the route, we'll have cones going around the Capitol Square.
Okay, there will be potentially two food carts that will be leaving the area around 2:30. I guess there might be like five or six along East Main, and the corner of MLK and the square. Okay. I think we have six food carts that are slated to be there within that area during the market itself. So until about 2 o'clock. So they should be pulling out at about the time that you're loading in. So I think it should potentially work. They are out of the way of metro stops, so the food carts are not in that way at all. I just saw Tim, your hands up. So it's where they are normally during weekday hours, and then along the section of the terrace. That's just something to keep in mind. And then we'll be having a number of vendors leaving around that same time around West Mifflin and Carroll, South Carroll, on that Y, okay. And then along the 100 block. So they're all leaving and are usually gone by 3 o'clock. And that's before your race starts. So they'll be out of the way, but I just want you to be aware that there'll be this activity in transition.
Yeah, that's good to know. Thank you. And I know Ryan and his team from Ironman are usually finishing up the 70.3. So they're the actual course usually gets started around four or after four. So it should time out pretty well.
Okay. And if you could somehow provide a diagram of the visual of what your race route is, that would be really helpful because that makes a big difference for me to send to operators so they're aware of like where those road closures are on a diagram versus having to try and have them look through any of this information.
Sure, absolutely.
Other than that, I think it should work out timing wise from my perspective.
Thanks, Megan. Let's go with Tim and Metro.
Just following up on Megan, your observations, the requirement of this permit is that none of the streets on the square themselves are closing until 5 p.m. So except for Martin Luther King 100 block, which could close earlier, West Main, East Main, Mifflin, those are all going to be open until 4:40 p.m. under the requirements for the transition between the two permits. That makes sense.
That does. And the vendors will just be loading in and loading out. Their site placements shouldn't be an issue related to Metro service and the road being open because they're all on the terrace. I just wanted to be clear about that. But the buses, I guess I should just clarify, Tim, that the Y closure will still be in effect on that day as regular.
The single Y in the sense of the 100 block of State, the block of West Mifflin and the block of North Carroll will not have bus traffic, but from West Washington all the way around to Wisconsin, buses would be there until 4:40. So, yep.
Okay, we're on the same page. Perfect, thank you.
I was gonna ask Kelly and or the event organizer, and again, thank you for the event organizers for meeting with us earlier this week. If you were on the earlier call discussing with Ryan the coordination between the two events, Metro will be anticipating pushing all the bus routes to the outer ring, the streets a block off the Capitol Square, quote unquote, exactly at 4:40 p.m. But until that time, the buses are going to be entering and driving around and exiting the square. I guess the question from traffic control is, are Metro staff permitted to move barricades if they're put up before 4:40? Or what do we do? Because again, we cannot move our buses out to West Doty until exactly 4:40, quote unquote.
I guess I would say yes, but I'm not sure I'm the final voice. Yeah. Anybody opposed to allowing if barricades were errantly put up before 4:40, allowing the buses to move them. Go ahead, Ryan.
We'll put a plan in place that the barricades will be staged at the intersections for closure. And we'll be making a lap at 4:40 as well to pull those into place. And obviously we'll coordinate to get the buses off of the square if they're in there and they're running late or whatever. I mean, we have a little flexibility on the start time of this event. So we'll make sure the square is clear and we'll make sure that Doty stop is ready to go as well prior to that.
Okay. So I would say the answer is yes, Tim.
Yep. And Brian, I do appreciate you understanding that don't put the barricades up before 4:40, but if there's a straggler bus that is there at 4:41, thank you for your understanding that bus just looked at their watch wrong. So thank you.
Perfect. All right. Caitlin, Cap PD.
Another concerns besides just the permit for our side.
All right. Okay. Any other thoughts before we share the draft permit? Okay, this is the draft permit for the 2024 Iron Kids Wisconsin Fun Run. The request is for Saturday, September 7th. Staging start finish is the 100 Block MLK. The route itself is the Capitol Square. Setup will begin at 100 MLK at 2:30. The square will be closed after 4:40. And everything will be reopened at 6:30. I'll update this to say that. A certificate of insurance is required and on file. We'll ask you notify the area alder. We'll ask that you notify area businesses, including the businesses on the 100 Block MLK. Parking enforcement, oh no, we will not be posting anything because you don't need any additional postings. The parking removal or race equipment will be provided by an approved contractor. The run course will be closed off by an approved private contractor. Lane closure equipment placement as per plan on file. Event cannot displace licensed city vendors. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained. ADA accessible pathway must be maintained. No inflatables on city right-of-way, no permanent markings, and you're required to clean up. All right, any further thoughts for Iron Kids 2024? On the motion to approve, is there any objection to record a unanimous vote on item number 5? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
You too. All right. We have consent agenda. At this time, the consent agenda will be moved with the recommended action, except items which have registrants wishing to speak, items which require an extraordinary roll call vote, or items which commission members have separated out for discussion and debate purposes. Can we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda with the recommended action? Motion, Megan. Second, Caitlin. Ran out of paper. There we go. All right. On the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on the consent agenda? All right. Seeing none, the motion passes. Recent events, please let me know if there's anything we need to make note of for next year or follow up with this year. We have the usual farmers markets. We have the Breeze Stevens event. Sorry, I can't see my list as well as watch for hands. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to maybe re-raise that question I asked you at the start of the meeting, Kelly, about the Breeze Stevens events and the new tow-away zone parking restriction on East Wash. If we are correct that even if it's posted tow-away zone, a street use permit would allow street use parking there from parking's perspective?
Yeah. Parking or Jeremy, do you... I guess I don't remember who was included on that email you sent him. Did you include Jeremy in parking and Amy or...
I can try and find it. It was Taylor and Tom Moore, Jeremy and Amy, Mike Jeffel, and you, Kelly.
Okay. So yeah, I guess Amy or Jeremy or Taylor, you know, just trying to confirm with the new signage that is on West Wash.
East Wash.
East Wash, thank you. Adjacent to Breeze, that the street use permit we're issuing does allow them to park there. During those street use permitted times. So the new signage, Tim, can you remind me what the new signage says?
My understanding, this is, I know Amy, we've been talking about those pamphlets. It's Breeze Stevens side of the road would be tollway zone from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on that, I think it's the 900 block of East Washington.
So I think my thought is, and just trying to confirm this, that the street use permit we issue for that block kind of supersedes signage. because they'll be putting up different signage over that existing permanent signage. Does that make sense? Go ahead, Amy.
The signs that are out there are going to be no stopping, standing, parking. So during a peak travel time for traffic, so it's a lane, it becomes a lane of traffic at that time. But are the event times, do they overlap with that time of day for Bree Stevens?
Yeah, they, well, specifically that one I just sent out, that okay. They're asking for an additional 12 hours of parking. So that might.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to need to not allow them in that lane of traffic during peak times if it's a time that we're towing from there. So yeah, we may have to change that.
Okay. Then and this is for August, I think it was August 8th, roughly.
Email said August 6th at 5 p.m. August 6th is a Tuesday. And then it was a dash August 9th at 6 p.m. August 9th is a Friday. So again, from the email, it would be the morning of August 7th, 8th, and 9th. There's 3 days that they, in theory, be in there between 7 and 9 in the morning on a weekday.
Okay. And Amy, is that entire block? No, stop and standing park? Okay, the entire block. Okay, I'm going to have to connect, you know, parking with them, and we'll work out. I'm not sure the additional 12 hours on the front end and the back end of their original request. I don't know if it's actually to put stuff there, but I guess if it is, they're going to have to move it during those 2 hours in the morning. But we'll connect you guys. I won't issue the amended permit until we have confirmed the plan. With them, and we don't really have time to bring them back, but since it's just a parking request, we can confirm it administratively. Go ahead, Tim.
And I was just going to clarify, this is not the bus lane that is curbside. It would be a vehicle travel lane, because in theory, and not August 9th this year, but in future years, the buses are in the center of the road. It doesn't directly impact the city's transit operations, but it would impact general traffic flow. So again, however traffic engineering and parking want to figure this one out. Again,
it's, yeah, absolutely.
Only asking because we're aware of this, but not because it directly would impact us. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's good to know. I guess I wasn't aware that that was going to be a travel lane, you know, during those peak morning hours. So we will definitely need to work through all those details. So this will be a good introduction to working through that with all our new traffic flow. Okay, what other things? Concerts on the square, art fair on the square. Go ahead, Taylor.
I got some feedback about art fair from staff members who were working on the Sunday day for the event. There was some issues with the Cooper's Tavern business owner not being able to access the alleyway behind the business off of Carroll Street. I wasn't sure, but I thought that was a condition of the permit, was that alleyway needed to be accessible. I couldn't find it in the permit, but I just kind of know in years past, we've sort of made that a condition. But it sounds like around 10 o'clock on July 14th, the business owner called and was trying to do some loading and was unable to get in. So I was just hoping that for the future, we could make sure that those vendors and others, I know that Ian's tries to kind of scoot in there too for their delivery vehicles, but just making sure that that alleyway is accessible for all those businesses that do need to use it, even on a Sunday. I know that's kind of an off day for loading and unloading. Also too, I know this was kind of brought up offline, but if next year, and I'll try to remember next year to bring it up too, we're going to have them have a better system for their temporary postings. It's one thing that the event itself posted what they needed to on all the spindles and the square and whatnot, but their vendors were not so timely with their postings, and it was just creating a lot of issue for our staff, for other staff. I know it was stressful for the vendors. So in the future, if it's possible that maybe Art Fair, as the event itself, just takes on posting responsibilities for their vendors, if they can coordinate that with all their vendors ahead of time, that would be really excellent. And then that way all the postings can be up at least 48 hours in advance for anybody that has disabled permits or plates. So those folks are all aware. I know we get a lot of commuting traffic with that. But then it just, we can better service that event and hopefully those vendors.
Okay, thank you. That all makes sense to me.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if you could see my hand, Kelly. Sorry.
Yeah, I could. No problem.
Taylor, did some of the artist vendors request no parking to park their vehicles during the event? I'm just kind of confused about what vendors were reserving parking.
Yes, we had a number of artists who had requested spaces within the 300 block of East Main. And also along the 10 South Hancock and I believe South Butler corridor. And it was just a lot of spaces reserved, but it wasn't quite in a timely fashion. And I felt bad because some of them needed us to tow vehicles and we weren't really able to for a couple of them. We could accommodate once a certain amount of time passed and, you know, made sure that those metered spaces had expired. But it just needed to be better posted in a timely fashion so that we could actually help service those vendors.
Go ahead, Amy.
I think ideally because they had all of their space reserved and then they had all of their vendors reserve all of their own individual spaces. I don't know if we can force this or not, but if we can suggest to them that maybe they just do one large posting and then they can divvy up the spaces, because not only what Taylor said, but it also created a lot of individual calls for us to go out and do each one separate, where if it's just one large posting, we can draw one case number, have one person go out and check them all at one time instead of doing 25 separate ones. Mm-hmm. It created a lot of work in the parking division in the main office for us to go check them and get it all done in a timely and efficient manner. So if we could suggest that and see if they can just incorporate all of their vendor parking into theirs, just do one big one and they can divvy up the spots themselves, just all around. It's a better service we can provide and it's just us working smarter and more efficiently. So.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. I know we tried to get that in action this year, but I will follow up. And if, you know, I'll explain, you know, why, and if they need a follow-up meeting, I might schedule on parking just to talk through it this fall so they can plan ahead.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Anything about Art Fair off the square? Okay. Fête de Marquette. Madison Gospel 5. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say Maxwell Street Days next. if you could reach out to the organizer, Mall Maintenance is still looking for 3 trash and 1 recycle barrel. They didn't really collect them accordingly, and we're just trying to find them. They're kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Megan, go ahead.
Yeah, I moved around. I was just going to say for La Fête de Marquette, with their expansion to Brearley.
Yeah.
I noticed on my way through that they had their no parking signs posted for, I think, the 11th. But like 2 days before that, they had their beer truck already on site in the parking lane and plugged in. So the cord went across the sidewalk and into some plug somewhere. I'm not sure where it ended up. But it was days before their permit, because I was like, well, that's interesting. And I stopped, and I do have photos if anybody needs, but It just was out of alignment with what they were asking if they wanted to put it there earlier. But it was a beer truck plugged in. I mean, not a truck. Yeah. It's like a beer caddy trailer. Yeah. It wasn't attached to anything that could drive it away.
Yeah, there was some early setup in the park as well. So I will follow up on those items. We had a free and just bus tour that stopped at James Madison Park. We did have a few issues with them posting appropriately, but thank you, parking, for working through that. I think it worked out. Monroe Street sidewalk sale, opera in the park. Oh, back to Monroe. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I can't get, like, I'm all around. I have screen issues. Can you remind me if they had vending as one of their pieces for making sales outside on the sidewalk?
They did that.
Okay, I believe that
about was... it. Yeah.
Okay, what I believe that was happening.
Okay.
Along some of the businesses, because they were having a flower shop sit with them, and they were outside making, it looked to me like they were making sales from the photos along the sidewalk and kind of vestibule of the business. So it's kind of that gray line between when they're actually in the right of way and when they're on private property. But it was a business that wasn't associated with the brick and mortar business. It was someone that they invited to join them to sell flower bouquets. Okay. Along with food that they had outside from their business. So it was a little, I question whether or not they're actually doing vending or not. I would lean towards yes, but I wasn't there in person and judging off of images. But I have a feeling that that's happening on both Monroe Street events.
Yeah.
In reality.
Yep. It might be, and maybe we could create a little guideline for those vendors. I know we've talked about this numerous times over the years. And it might just be that information is not getting to all those individual vendors, but okay. Opera in the park. It didn't rain. It looked good. So that's awesome. Willie Street Park 40th anniversary. And then Maxwell Street Day. Anybody else besides some missing bins? Okay, next meeting's in 2 weeks. Upcoming more concerts on the square. Mad Lit is this Friday. Bruce Stevens events. Atwood Fest is this weekend. Saturday and Sunday. And then we have another Mad Lit on August 2nd. And then Jazz at 5 will start Wednesday, August 7th, if we get their insurance, which I'm sure we will. So, yeah. Any questions on upcoming stuff? All right. Can we have a motion and a second for adjournment? Motion, Megan. Second, Amy. Any objection? Recording unanimous vote on adjournment. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.